Dear friends in Christ Jesus,
this morning I should like to direct your attention to the last verses of the scripture lesson, the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the 6th to 9th verses. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf, and the lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play over the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So far our text. In Christ Jesus, our incarnate Lord, dear friends, I recall some years ago stopping at a little shop along the road at the foot of the Austrian Alps and engaging the proprietor in conversation. We were Americans. We had come by car. For him, it was the event of the day and probably also the event of the week. He was anxious to chat with us and to share his philosophy of life and his goal with us. There was one thing that he told us he wanted. Peace. Everlasting peace. And those words of his still ring in my ears. He had been victimized by two world wars, and he wanted none of a third. Peace was his goal, his hope, his dream. That's a little bit difficult for us here in America who have never experienced the disruption and the societal disintegration that is a part of war to appreciate the longing and hope that those who have been its victims express. We have never seen the violence and the gore, the senseless suffering of non-combatants, the satanic selfishness and struggle for survival, the demonic that very quickly surfaces when the veneer of civilized behavior is rubbed off. It's no wonder, then, that people long for and dream for peace. Those people who have seen the ugliness and the despair of modern war. Still, peace can be a myth. How well students of history know that. But students of the scripture also know that peace can be a reality. Peace can be a myth if you're looking for the wrong kind of peace. I don't know whether my Austrian friend will be disappointed in his lifetime. I hope and I pray not. But I am afraid that a great many people will be disappointed. Our Lord tells us that in the end time, there will not be peace, but wars and rumors of war. And so there are a great many people like my Austrian friend who look for and long for temporal peace, who have that hope, but who will be disappointed. For men will not beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Such a hope for temporal peace is unreal because it fails to take into account what the scriptures tell us about the nature of man. He is a sinner, alienated from God. And because he is alienated from God, alienated also from his fellow men, and totally selfish. He looks out for his own interests only. He seeks to exploit not only his surroundings, but also his fellow men. And when he believes that victory can be his, he is ready to use any means at his disposal to subjugate and to enslave his fellow man. The dream of temporal peace is indeed illusionary because it fails to take into account the basic nature of man. That is why you and I are more realistic than many of our fellow men. We know man as he really is. We know ourselves, and therefore we also know our fellow human beings. We know the havoc that sin wreaks on relationships among human beings. Consequently, we do not expect an era of temporal peace. Now, that is not to say that we do not work for peace, temporal peace, and that we do not pray for peace. God works through human beings, and we are his agents. And as Christians, we know that it is God who is working. I recall in 1960, the pessimistic prediction of C.T. Snow, who was quite convinced, and who publicized his conviction, that unless the West were to disarm unilaterally, we would be involved in a nuclear holocaust within a decade. That was 1960. And we are now in 1981, and we have been spared that nuclear holocaust. Not because C.T. Snow was wrong. He knew the heart of men as you and I know it. But we have been spared by the mercy of God. It is God who is ruling this universe. You and I know that. And we are grateful for the protection that he offers us. We work for peace and we pray for peace because we know who is in charge. And yet, there is such a thing as peace, real peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace that our Savior, the Prince of Peace, came to bring. It is first and foremost peace with God himself. For given man, according to the new man, no longer fears his maker. He no longer seeks to hide from him. Nor is God any longer alienated from his creatures. The barrier that sin erected between God and man, and between man and man, has been broken down. It is in that sense that peace, and only in that sense, that true peace comes. And it is only in that way that the beautiful picture which Isaiah paints of the Messiah's kingdom comes to pass. Now today, we are marking the anniversaries of service of a number of our colleagues and co-workers. At first glance, 25 years, 35 years, 40 years, 50 years, 55 years do not seem like too long a time, especially when we compare them with the eternity of God. And yet, in man's terms, they are a long time, a long period during which service has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. You, brethren, have been called to serve this Prince of Peace, our Savior, to do your part in spreading the gospel and thus in making this picture of Isaiah a reality. You have served well and faithfully in classroom and on the campus. Today we do well to say that, because one day your Lord himself will say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." You've known the promise of peace that Isaiah brings to us, and you've recognized that it is not a myth, but rather a reality. Nature indeed may be red in tooth and claw, and the natural man may also be red in tooth and claw. And yet that gore can be replaced with beauty. The beauty reflected in the antiphone this morning and in our Advent hymn. The wolf will indeed dwell with the And the leopard will dwell with the kid in the kingdom that our Lord has ushered in. That's the message that Isaiah brings us. That's the message which we bring today and which you have brought. That's the message which we pray God, you and we, will bring for the rest of our lives as we continue to serve this Prince